again, medical education podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, and I have the pleasure today to speak to you from an early but very bright, sunny Vancouver morning with Adrian Husbands, who's a lecturer in selection and assessment at the University of Dundee Medical School. And Adrian and his colleagues have a paper coming out in the July 2013 issue of Medical Education entitled Predictive Validity of the Dundee Multiple Mini Interview. Welcome, Adrian, to the podcast.
Hello, thank you.
So you've been doing a lot of work, I know, even beyond this particular paper, trying to evolve and continue to understand the admissions process at the University of Dundee, because what schools try to accomplish through their admissions process is so variable across institution, across country, across any number of variables. I wonder if we could start by my asking you to tell us a little bit about what it is that Dundee prioritizes in its selection process. Is Dundee have a particular priority in terms of what type of graduate it's interested in, or is it more meant to be a general medical training?
So we're looking at a combination of intellect, achievement, and non-cognitive skills. In terms of intellect, we use the UK CAT, which is an intelligence test, basically. In terms of measures of achievement, we look at a candidate's A-levels, Scottish hires, so basically school-leaving qualifications. And then when it comes to non-cognitive skills, that's where the MMIs come in, where we look at the various things that we blueprinted that I mentioned before, namely communication skills, motivation, moral reasoning, teamwork, integrity, and critical thinking.
Right, okay. And how many applicants do you get any given year?
Every year we get around 2,000 applicants. And from 2,000 applicants, we try to select about 600 for interview. And the interview takes place primarily in Dundee, but we also interview around 40 candidates in Malaysia. And from then, that group of 600 interview candidates, we usually give offers to between 250 and 300, and we hope to enroll about 150.
Right, okay. And it's quite an extensive and elaborate process then. Can you give our international listeners a better sense of what the UK CAT aims to do? It's a United Kingdom clinical aptitude test, as I understand. Is it focused on any particular domain?
All right, so the UK CAT is an intelligence test, and just taking it from the paper, it's used to assess a range of mental abilities identified by university medical and dental schools as important. So that was the groundwork in terms of what they used to develop the tests. In terms of the subtests or the subcomponents of the UK CAT, there are four of them, namely verbal reasoning, quantitative reasoning, abstract reasoning, and decision analysis. I should actually mention that now the UK CAT is also trialing situational judgment tests, but the SJTs weren't actually used in the time period that the study was done.
Okay. And this study, if I understand correctly, was done with the admission cycles that took place in 2009 and 2010?
Yes, that's correct.
And was that the first 2 years that you used the MMI, or has it been going on for a little while now?
It's the first 2 years that we had full MMIs. In 2008, there was a four-station MMI to bridge the gap between traditional interviews and then full-blown 10-station MMIs.
And can you tell us a little bit about what was going on back then that led Dundee to shift from its old process?
Well, I can tell you a little bit. I wasn't in post back in those days, but I can say that prior to adopting the MMIs, the admissions interviews comprise of one panel interview per applicant. I believe it was between 20 minutes and half an hour long. And there was a feeling that it wasn't very robust. I believe my predecessor, Bonnie Lynch, did an analysis on the previous interviews and found that they were very low in reliability. So they weren't robust enough to decide to continue to use them.
Okay. And this, speaking of robustness, is one of the first studies, my impression, to be focused on predictive validity. There have been, as you know, an increasing number of MMI studies around the world, and people have been using it long enough now that they're just getting to the point of being able to do this sort of work. So you made an empirical effort to go out and see how strongly your various admissions tools related to performance in medical school. Can you tell us how that latter piece is defined? What measures do you have available to you within the program that you thought might be useful for assessing your admissions process?
Okay, so in terms of outcome measures, what we have is the exam scores for each medical student for each year. So some years would have two written exams and two OSCEs. So we have two semesters in each year, and each semester will have a written exam and an OSCE. But there are some years that just have one written exam and one OSCE. So that's what we've used in the paper as outcome measures. There are other measures that I'm currently looking into using, but they're relatively new measures, but I hope that they will give me some more information regarding whether or not the MMIs are working and if they're measuring what they're meant to measure. There is one. There's a new system introduced which gives points, so to say, for lapses in professionalism. So, you know, a medical student who has 3 points against your lapses in professionalism, you know, would be referred to university disciplinary committee. So that's one measure that I'm looking into using to relate back to MMI scores to see, for example, whether or not medical students who scored lower in their MMI scores also have more lapses in professionalism.
Interesting. It reminds me of the demerit system that we have for driver's licenses here in Canada. You lose points each time you have an offense of some kind, and it allows one to build up an overall picture, I guess, of how one's been performing in tough-to-measure domains.
Yeah.
Cool. So, again, you've been at this for 5 years now. What are you finding with respect to the relative predictive validity of your various admissions measures?
Well, we found a mixed bag with the UK CAT. Within the paper itself, the one that we're publishing presently in MedEd, there was limited evidence in terms of predictive validity. After submitting this paper, we keep doing follow-ups each year, and we found that 1 year after this paper, we actually found a significant negative correlation with the UK CAT. So we're still not really too sure of what to make of the UK CAT. Other interesting information is that there's a paper that I'm currently working on. Now, I guess I shouldn't give out too much information on it, but I am actually working on hopefully submitting a paper soon that did show across two institutions that the UK CAT did have moderate correlations with both written and OSCE scores in later years in medical school. So that's in fourth and fifth year. So I think there are many things to think about. You know, first of all, why do UK CAT outcome markers have to be exam scores? Okay, so if we're looking at intelligence, our outcome markers don't have to be exam scores. It could be many other things. Our outcome markers might really be more relevant to when they become doctors, so post-graduation, how does the UK CAT fare? So I think there's questions around the outcome markers that we're currently applying to assess the validity of the UK CAT. It might be in the future that we could develop a bespoke kind of assessment that we would want to validate the UK CAT against. So I think that's a pretty big issue when it comes to trying to determine whether or not the UK CAT has predictive validity.
Right, great. And the University and College Admission Services, I realize that's one of the other tools they've used that I didn't ask you to describe for those who aren't within your system.
Yes. So all candidates who are applying to university within the UK have to apply through UCAS. So the UCAS form would include their academic grades. So that would include their A-levels, their Scottish Highers, GCSEs, etc. It would also include references from their secondary schools. It would include their personal statement and various other bits of information. For example, you know, whether or not this applicant has any disabilities, right? They're also, I believe, made to disclose any criminal records. All this information is quite helpful in terms of making admission decisions. With respect to the MMI paper, we had a look at the UCAS form scores, namely the score that we derived from the personal statement and the references, and we didn't find any significant associations between any UCAS form scores and any medical school outcomes, which isn't very surprising, seeing that the literature basically says that using UCAS form scores as assessment tools lacks any robustness.
Right, okay. And the third component was the interviews, I understand.
Yes, so the third component is the interviews. Station development takes up a lot of my time. It's not a very straightforward thing, but the method of developing stations has refined over the years. So when I first started, I successfully developed stations, but obviously over time, there's a learning curve to it and things get a bit slicker. So currently, I find the most efficient and effective way of developing stations is by using critical instance interviewing with members of staff that have daily interactions with students. So the staff will be aware of the domains that the MMIs are measuring, and often they would have participated in the MMIs previously.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them to describe incidents of good or best practices with medical students over the years, or they can even think back to when they were in medical school, good practice or bad practice with respect to any of the domains. So after I record their interviews, I would go off with a team of staff sometimes and try to develop initial scenarios, or sometimes the scenarios that I obtain are good enough that I can just start writing stations on my own. The next big part of station development is getting groups of students together, so existing medical students, to actually evaluate the stations. So each new station goes through about 4 rounds of evaluations by current medical students who actually engage in the role plays and provide feedback on a structured feedback form. Following that, it's just a matter of evaluating the feedback, figuring out whether or not the stations work. Should we continue with them? Should we ditch them? They just get finalized and are run in the interviews.
That's been quite useful to have you go through that, because it sounds to me as though it's a more elaborate and more impressive and rigorous process than most schools that I've encountered have been using, and potentially contributes a lot towards the positive relationships you're seeing. So I feel like we should stop beating around the bush and give our listeners the punchline in terms of what the outcome has been that you've been pulling from all those efforts.
All right, so the punchline is, what we found is that the MMI was the single biggest predictor of medical school performance across 2 cohorts and 3 sets of examinations. We found that it predicted better than the UK CAT and definitely better than any of the UCAS form scores. The UCAS form scores didn't give us any positive significant correlations. The UK CAT did give us significant correlations, but that was in only 2 of the 10 assessments, whereas the MMIs gave us 5 significant positive correlations out of 10 assessments. What we did after we ran the correlations is that we ran multiple regression models, because we had some variables as well that we wanted to assess whether or not they might be confounding our view of the MMI's predictive validity. And even with including age and gender into these regression equations, the MMI still remains the single biggest predictor of medical school performance.
Great. There will be a lot of detail in the paper that we can't possibly cover in the short time we have, Cass. So I'm going to reference our listeners back to your manuscript in order to get some more of the information. And I've been speaking with Adrian Husbands, and we've been talking about a paper that he and his colleagues have coming out in the July 2013 issue of Medical Education, entitled Predictive Validity of the Dundee Multiple Mini Interview. Thanks, Adrian. I appreciate your time, and would encourage anybody who wants to learn more about just how you're mounting this process to get in touch with you, because as I said, it does sound like your station development process is leaps and bounds beyond where most people are. And good luck with all your work in the future.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin. It was a pleasure.